Good morning, good morning, good morning, people of God. We're so delighted that you're here with us today in the house of God at the beginning of this new year. Let's make sure that we remember it's 2021. I definitely like that scripture now, forgetting those things which are past. We press on to the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. So in this situation, we're delighted today to move to a new time, a new era. And you know what? I see a hope. I do really see, even though all the bad things that have happened over this past week, I do see the glimmer of hope. I'm reminded, and I think I shared this with others on the prayer line, and let me share it with you again before we enter into this lesson. I think that we remember when Jesus saw the young boy, they were bringing the child for him to cast out the devil, and when they came to him, and he said, bring the child to me. And as they were bringing the child to him, the devil caused him to be cast into the fire, and then they brought him out and brought him to Jesus, and Jesus cast out the demon. I believe that this is the enemy's last fling. The things that he's doing now, he'll never do again. Hallelujah, because Jesus has already rebuked him. I think that if you look back, even as the people of Israel were being chased by the Egyptians across the Red Sea, and Moses said, I want y'all to take a look. This enemy that is here, you'll never see again. And I believe today that God is telling us, this enemy that he's given us the victory over, we will never see again in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We thank you today that we're going to shout now, for you have already given us the victory. Bless this word today. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you now. Amen and amen. As you place your hands over your heart, say, I am good ground. And the word I receive today shall bring forth much fruit in my heart and in my life. Please extend your hands to the pastor. Say, Pastor, you're anointed, you're appointed, you have the green light, so preach the word of God. I receive it, I receive it, I receive it. And Father, we thank you today for all of your blessings today. And we declare today that your word will not return void, but will accomplish the things you sent it to do and to prosper in the things that you please. Today I want to cover a start of a new era. And as you recall, when Joshua began to take over from Moses, and as he God gave him now and says, Moses, my servant is dead, but now you are the new leader. There is a time when leadership changes. There's a time when an era, the old era passes away, and then something else becomes new. And I believe here in 2021 that God is saying this is the time now that I have chosen leaders to take us to the next level. And in the case of Joshua in the chapter 6, verse 2, which Pastor Banks read earlier, was that Joshua was walking around the camp, checking out probably the watches of the night, and he saw this man with his sword drawn, ready to defeat the enemy, and he came to him. He said, "Listen, are you for them? Are you for us?" And the person said, "I'm the captain of the Lord's army. I'm not for you or for them. I want y'all to hear me today. That God is not a Democrat or a Republican. God is for what is right. And he is, and when we line up with him, we line up for what is right and not what is partisan. I just wish that we could get that in this nation right now. But listen, I don't want to get too political. Let me press on. I got to move this train. Hallelujah. And so as he saw the angel of the Lord, and somebody said that he was the pre-incarnate Christ, but he was the Lord of hosts. And he said, I got a message for you today. I want you to know that we have already delivered Jericho into your hands. The victory is already won. I'm here to give you some instructions. I'm here to give you notice. I'm here to let you know which way to go, Joshua. And so therefore, here's my instructions. I want you to walk around that city seven times. 6 days, walk around it once. But on the seventh day, walk around it seven times. And on the seventh time, I want you to give a great shout, for the Lord has already given you the victory. I wonder sometimes, why didn't God just let him go and just go over there and defeat Jericho? But God always has a plan. And one of the commentaries said, God did it so that no man could take credit for it. Hallelujah. They had to keep their mouths shut for 7 days. Now, you know, that's a hard thing for a bunch of people, a bunch of nations to keep their mouths shut. But he said, be quiet, for I am the Lord. I'm the one who's going to deliver you. I'm the one who's going to bring you out of this thing. And I think that's the way it is with us sometimes. We have to realize that it's not about us, but it's all about him. He, in some cases, it's only he is going to give us the victory. And when he began to walk around that wall, there's three things that we have to realize when we hear this message from the Lord. Number one, we have to realize who's in charge. And we have to realize that it's not about you, brother. It's not about you, sister, but it's about the Lord. It's the Lord's work that's got to be done. It's the Lord who's got to be glorified. It's the Lord who's got to be magnified. Do you think that he's going to give you the victory so that you can put your chest out and say, look what I've done? No, he's giving you the victory so you can lift up your voice and say, look what the Lord has done. If it had not been for the Lord on my side in 2020, where would I be? But I'm standing here on the other side of the year in 2021 with my feet firmly planted. And I'm here to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for another day. Thank you for food on my table. I know that you're able. God, I thank you this morning for all that you've done for me. So we have to realize that it's God who's in charge. God went up, Joshua went up to the man and asked him if he was for them or was he for his enemy. And then the one who I believe was the pre-incarnate Christ turned to him. And when he turned, he said, neither, but I'm the captain of the host of the Lord. And I now have come. You know, when God shows up, the victory is already won. Hallelujah. When the Lord of hosts has already showed up, hallelujah. And notice the reaction of Joshua. He fell on his face before him. And Joshua now realized that he was not the commander after all, but he would be taking his orders from the real commander in chief. When we realize that we're not the commander of our situation, we're not in control of our lives, but we have to be willing to take orders from the real commander. This is also called a commission of Joshua. It's the same as when Moses' call was when he saw in the Midianite, when he saw the burning bush, and he had to take off his shoes because it was holy ground. This is the same thing. Moses was told to remove his shoes, for the ground which he stood on was holy. So Joshua was told to do the same thing by the commander of the Lord's army. Some say it was the way that an angel of superior rank, and some say it was the appearance of God in human form as the commander of the Lord's army. as a sign of respect, Joshua took off his sandals. Although Joshua was Israel's leader, he was still subordinate to God's leader. Let me tell you something. There's so many people that comes to God, and they come, you know, and I don't mind people saying he's your daddy. I know that's another form of saying father, but there's something about entering into the very presence of God that should bring some awe to you. You ought to realize that you're on holy ground. You're now entering into the holies of holies, a place that you have never been before, but God has allowed you to enter into his presence. There's something heavy about the spirit in the presence of God. I remember we were on the prayer line the other week, and the presence of God was so strong, I could hardly keep my mouth open because I felt the presence of God. I felt like laying down before him, prostrate. Why? Because the heaviness and the holiness of God. He's no casual person that you talk to, like, hey, Donnie, hey, buddy, hey, Sue, hey, no, you enter into his, come on now, can you bear with me just for a little bit? I'm not trying to take away your community with God, but listen, when you come into the very presence of the Queen of England, I think they do a little bowing, don't they? I think that when you come in, even into the office of the president, you might not respect the man, but you're going to respect that office. Hallelujah. Why? Because you're entering into a place that you've never been before. You're entering into a place where the presence of leadership is there. And I'm telling you today, when we enter into the presence of God, that's why when we begin to pray, we say, Abba, Father, my Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We recognize you. We adore you. I remember when I was in the military. I know I'm telling another military story, but y'all just had to bear with me. Hallelujah, because that's what I know. But you know, when I got commissioned, amen. Now, I remember when I was enlisted, nobody saluted me. Nobody paid me no attention. But when I put some bars on my shoulder, hallelujah, and I called somebody to attention, they came. And when they came and they entered into my presence, they saluted me, amen. And they recognized not necessarily the man, but they recognized my authority that I had. I remember one time that this sergeant was leading us, and we were in advanced individual training, and we were marching along, and every morning he would see this captain came out, and he was leaving from the officer's quarter, and he would say, good morning, captain. He didn't salute or nothing. Now I'm going to tell you what color that person was, but he kind of looked like me, but it wasn't me. Finally, that captain said, Sergeant, you come here. He had to halt the whole company. He said, listen, when you address me as sir, and you salute me when you see me. Come on now. I remember in Vietnam where a sergeant just kept walking on past me, didn't say nothing. I said, come here, I want to talk to you a minute. He said, well, my commander told me that I don't have to salute in Vietnam. I said, you know what? He's right. But when you come to my territory, you're going to salute me. Hallelujah. You know why? Because there's an authority that we have. All right? Now, none of y'all have been in the military, so you don't understand maybe what we're talking about. But let me tell you something. When the police officers are out there on 32 and there's an accident, and there might be a large Frito-Lay truck, they throw up their hands and say, stop. Those trucks come to an end. When they say go, you go. See, that's why it was so devastating this time when all of those hoodlums and all those insurrectionists attacked the Capitol, and those police officers said, stop. And they totally disrespected authority. And they moved on beyond that level of authority. There's something about an authority. There's something about having a badge. There's something about having the authority vested in you, which is, in that particular case, it was the United States government. What a shame and a disgrace. And you know what? God is going to punish them, that, you know, because God does not allow us to disrespect authority. You don't have to believe me. Just go back to this scripture. When Joshua himself, the leader of the people of Israel, when he came into the presence of the real leader, hallelujah, he had to bow down and take off his shoes in honor and respect. There's something about authority that God invests in leaders that we need to respect. Pastor, where are you saying that for your own self-indulgent? No, but I do know that when I was following a leader, I honored that leader. And because I honored that leader, God has honored me to provide and place me in leadership. And it's the same thing with each one of us. Amen. When we respect leadership. And so therefore, when we come into the presence of God, we need to come and respect his leadership. And so we have to realize that he is the leader of the Lord's army. He is the leader who's going to cause us to gain the victory. The second point that I would like to cover is remember the instructions. Why did God give Joshua all these complicated instructions for battle? Several answers are possible. God was making it undeniably clear that the battle would depend upon him and not upon themselves. The second thing he had was he had a method of taking that city, that territory. He had a specific strategy in which to do it. And as I was discussing with another pastor, he wanted all of the Canaanites to be totally destroyed because of their sinfulness. And I guess the question becomes that when we become a Christian, do we eliminate our fellowship with non-believers? And I think it was explained that no, we still have a relationship with them. We just don't fellowship with them. We don't go to the bars. We don't partake to the sinfulness that we used to do with them any longer. But we still maintain a relationship. Because of their evil practices and intense idolatry, the Canaanites were a stronghold of rebellion against God. This threat to the right kind of living that God required had to be removed. If not, it would have affected all of Israel like a cancerous growth, as it did in the sad story told in the book of Judges. A few people and some items in Jericho were not destroyed, but this was a special case. Rahab and her household were saved because she had faith in God and because she helped the Israelite spies. The silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron was kept not to enrich the people, but to beautify the tabernacle and its services. God's purpose in all this was to keep the people's faith and religions uncontaminated. He did not want the plunder to remind Israel of Canaanites' practices. God also wants us to be pure. He wants us to be cleaned up in our behavior when we begin a new life with him. We must not let the desire for personal gain distract us from our spiritual purpose. We must also reject any objects that are reminders of a life of rebellion against God's spiritual purpose. I know some people always testify, like they almost testify about how bad they were and how all the bad things they used to do. Look like they almost want to relish in all the things that they used to do. But I'm here to say I'm forgetting all those bad things I used to do, and I am glorying in the new me. I'm glorifying the new things that God has done in my life. I'm separating myself. I don't want those old things. All those old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Number three, rejoice, for the Lord has given you the victory. Once we have remembered the instructions, once we have done everything that the Lord tells us to do, do you know instructions for every battle is not always the same? In this particular case, he said, I want you to wipe out all of the Canaanites. There's other times God has told them to go go into all the world and preach the gospel. I want you to go in. I want you to go down to Joppa. I want you to go up to Nineveh and preach the word. So find out what specific instructions God has for you, and then follow those instructions. Last point is rejoice, for the Lord has given you the victory. God told Joshua that Jericho was already delivered into his hands. The enemy was already defeated. What confidence Joshua must have had as he went into battle. Christians also fight against a defeated enemy. Our enemy, Satan, has already been defeated by Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 and 39. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Although we still fight the battle every day, and sin runs rampant in the world, we have the assurance that the war has already been won. We do not have to be paralyzed by the power of the defeated enemy. We can overcome him through Christ's power. We enter into the victory by faith. All those listed in Hebrews chapter 11 are the hall of fame of faith because they believe in the power of God over Satan. I want us to shout now, for God has already given you the victory. God has given the victory to the people of God all down through the ages. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. David defeated Goliath. Hallelujah. The three Hebrew boys went through the fiery furnace. Daniel went through the lion's den. Samson tore down the whole and destroyed the whole leadership of the Philistine army. Why? Because the battle was not theirs. I think about David when God told him to go and wait and listen for the rustling of the Spirit of the Lord in the trees. And when you hear that rustling, I want you to move out and fight the battle. Jehoshaphat was told that when you go to fight the battle, I'll put the priests and the singers and worshipers ahead of you. But only difference in all of those things is that God is getting the victory out of them all. When the king rose up early and went down to Daniel and said, "Oh, Daniel, live forever. Is the God you serve able to deliver you?" Daniel said, "Oh, king, live forever. For the God I serve has sent an angel down and has shut the mouths of the lions." It is the same thing with us. God is looking for someone that he can show forth his strength and his power to. But you got to first of all realize that it's he that is in leadership. You've got to remember his specific instructions, and then you begin to rejoice in advance, and don't wait till the battle is over. One songwriter said, "Shout now!" Is anybody ready to shout over 2021? Is anybody ready to shout over 2021? I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm shouting now that COVID is going away. I'm shouting now that we're going to gain the victory. Hallelujah! I'm believing God that God in 2021 is going to give us the victory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.